Now, the reason that I believe we should... Oh, wow. I think these are prescription. I asked Howdy to find me some good reading glasses and son of a gun. So anyway, are these... Whose are these? Heidi, are these yours? Where is she? Can I have some that are little... Anybody have any? Mine are in my trailer in Pendleton, Oregon. And you got some? You're a good man. They're yours? You're a good lady. Anybody got a tissue? Because these are wet. Where? Okay, good. Right here? Okay. No, no, ma'am. I'm not wearing pink ones. Not. I got to draw the line somewhere. Smartly. These would look cool on me, though, I think. I don't think so. This ain't working for cowboy. Glory be to God. Listen, I got a lot of glasses up here now. In tithes and offerings, it's really important to me because I was kind of raised in denominations that never said anything about it, as in fear that people would get mad if you said anything about finances, money, in a church. For some reason, our family and the way we were raised. And by the way, Mom officially moved to Liberty Hill this week, so our house is almost done, but she went ahead and came, and she's going to be living in a guest house. But we were raised, when my dad was pastoring and ministering so much, that we didn't want to say anything about finances because it might split a church. And as a kid, I never understood that. And then when I got into college, I was confused, wondering why I had to have a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship, a Pell Grant, a student loan, and everything else. I mean, I worked. I was a guy that tested pipe in the oil field. And we had to do that trying to go to school and things like that. Until finally one day I got disgusted. And I started looking in this Bible, not from someone on television, but I started digging into the Word of God, and I found out that 2,036 times it talked about finances in this Bible in some way. And I began to dig into it, even though my dad, when I was born, worked for John Wayne, the Duke, on a ranch in Casa Grande, Arizona. I always tell our church, my dad and mom didn't have John Wayne's money. Now, he would come from Hollywood to get away, and he would drink coffee with mom and dad. He was a very nice man. Is that right, Mom? I was a little baby. Everybody asked me, do you remember John Wayne? And I was too little. But not having, you know, just being a ranch hand and not making a lot of money, you better start learning how to live by faith. You better understand that God's the provider. And so as I dug into the Word of God, man, I started getting set free in the area of giving. And that's what it was. Understand that giving is a seed. And I started learning all these things, and one day I dropped on my knees. And just as an example, and I don't remember the exact number, but it was one day when I say I had $1,000 and I knew 10% of it was $100, but my bills were about $1,200. It was that day that I said, God, you know what? I don't care if I'm going to be $300 short. I'm going to honor you. From that day, and I was in my middle 20s when I did this, I've never had a hardship financially ever since. Ever. Never again. Now, we've believed for some bigger things that I've had to stretch our faith about. Same with this church, building debt-free. We don't owe anything on this building. We've done it all debt-free. Well, to do that, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take getting into this Word of God and trusting. And that's what it is when you give to the Lord. Man, just trust Him. Make Him your provider and not your job, not your business. And when He becomes the provider, He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got more than enough. Heaven is made, just the streets are gold. He's got more than enough. He wants to meet your need according to His riches. So stop thinking all the junk about the church just trying to get your money. I do not take a salary at this church so that I can actually teach this stuff right. I'm not bound by a salary, but I am bound by believing God by faith so that He becomes the provider in my life. And I'm telling you, it is He has richly, richly blessed us, so we're good, fertile ground to sow into. Amen? So if you give and you've filled out your little envelope, I want you to bring it to this bucket, and I want you to bring it to that bucket. And also, I hear that we have a special. So whoever the special is, come on, and y'all come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen?
Satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one, that silver. Just over the hilltop.
Amen. I didn't know you could sing.
Thank you.
Who else can sing in here? Hey, give her another round of applause, please. I loved it. Really good, really good. Amen. I love when people have specials. So if you can sing, come on. Be a part and just be a part of letting your gift show. And I love that. Thank you very much for singing it. Thank God for mansions in heaven. Amen. And they're going to be nicer than you think. They're going to be, mine's, y'all want me to tell you about mine? I don't have time. Well, the youth are going to stay in here. This is the day that the youth stays in. Once a month they stay in. Other than that, they'll head out to their youth building. But the kids are, they're all going to stay in. They've arranged some, not in here, but inside where they don't have to go outside and get wet. So with a big round of applause, I want to dismiss our kids' church right out the back end. Amen. Come on, give them a little bit better response and telling those teachers how much we love them. How many of you here brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Just raise them up. I want to make sure you bring your word. Always bring the word of God. Amen. Big old tablet right there. I'd have never dreamed a gray-haired man like you would have a big tablet. I know. It's got big letters, yeah. Glory be to God. I want to minister a message to you, and I'm not going to take a lot of time. We're going to baptize. We've got a great presentation we're going to do at the end for 40 days of life that we believe in. Thank God for life. Amen. But I want to minister a message to you that the Lord gave me for this group today. And the title of it is just simply this: Having Longevity. How many of you know we need longevity in our lives? As a Christian, longevity is something that we are. Because Christianity is not just a one-time raising your hand at a service and giving your life to Jesus, putting on the helmet of salvation, and then that's it. No, it's a lifestyle. It's who you are. It's who we are. It's a culture of people that's how we live. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. And anything that is Lord over you, you follow that. You act like that. You trust in that. You obey what whoever is Lord over you says. In this case, it's not a human being. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there has to be something about giving your life to Jesus and then the longevity of living for Christ Jesus. And I've got to be honest with you, I don't see it much in the church. Not this church, thank God. But most churches, you see a lot of people live one way on Sunday and a different way the rest of the time. And I want to help us all to have that longevity that you can trust in your God no matter what. Now, I'm not saying you don't make mistakes and, you know, you don't have to say, God, forgive me, and thank God he is a gracious, honorable, faithful God that is full of mercy. Matter of fact, the Bible says his mercy is new every morning. Ooh, we need that, thank God. But I'm talking about just understanding that this is who we are. We're Christians, and how does Christians believe and act? And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, and I want to do it as an example of the tree. Because the tree is pretty important. Having longevity is a lot of times like a tree, because the very first thing you have to do when you're planting a tree is just that. It has to be planted. Now, understand in the Gospel of Luke, and I want you to turn there, but before you do, I want you to see where this message came from in Psalms chapter 1. I want you to turn to Psalms and go to the very first chapter of the book, Psalms chapter 1. Say amen when you get there. And let's read verse 3 all together. And he shall in the King James, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But you notice he's talking about a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Because in order to have longevity in this Christianity life that you and I have as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, then we have to understand that everything is a seed. Everything, good or bad. You've heard me say this many times. Because a good seed brings forth good fruit, but a bad seed brings forth bad. If I slap you upside the head this morning, I just planted a bad seed. And in today's world, that harvest can come very quickly with a bullet that goes really fast. But if I sow love into your life, thank God, I'm going to receive it. So everything is a seed. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, let's turn there just real fast. You're going to notice that everything that is seed really starts as the Word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, look with me at verse 11. Now, the parable is this. Jesus is talking, by the way. The seed is the Word of God. All right, so stamp that in your mind, in your belief system, that the Word is the seed. So when you're planting something like a tree, or you're planting, good relationships, or you're planting, hard work so that you can reap the harvest, or you're literally planting the seed of cotton or, peas or whatever one might try to grow. The Word of God is really the seed. And that's what causes you to have longevity in your life. So he begins to talk about the parable of the sower in verse, let's just say verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and this is talking about seed, that comes, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in time of temptation they fall away. Here's another bad place to sow some seed. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard it, go forth, and they are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. And then it finally gets to the good part. But they... or that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. How many of you know that's what you and I need to know, is that the Word of God, when it's sown into good ground, it's going to produce for you. That's exactly what we need today. Because look, our mouths speak seed. Matter of fact, the word says your mouth will either speak death or to speak life. It'll speak a blessing to someone, or your mouth will curse someone. So when you're a Christian, your mouth is really, really important. It's by the way you give your heart to Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, thou shalt be, say it with me, saved. We need to understand that our mouths speak life or they speak death, but it's the root of it's the Word of God that causes the root to go way down into the ground. Because as you plant a tree, you want that tree to have a very deep taproot so that the pressures of this life, the worries of this life, the stress of this life, the wind of this life doesn't blow that tree over. But if that taproot is in the ground, man, there's nothing that can cause you to go back to the days of Babylon. There's no pressure that can cause you to go back to the days of before you gave your life to Jesus, the days of unbelief. No, man, it'll cause you to just continue on no matter what you face in this world. Thank God that we're not to live of this world. We just live in it. But when you have longevity on the Word of God and you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, that's when you can say and speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, see? But after you plant this tree, then you got to fertilize the thing. The fertilization of who you and I are in Christ Jesus is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, called faith. Because as we know, that first verse of 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen." In other words, or in cowboy term, you've got to believe in something before you see it. And obviously, you know that we cannot see God the Father, and we cannot see His Son Jesus. Why? Because they're in heaven. And Jesus, as the Bible says, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, by the Spirit, we have the Holy Ghost here. Thank God. He's the one that comforts you. He's the one that corrects. He's the one that loves on you. He's the one that gives you the wisdom. He's the one that when you feel the goosebumps, that's Him, man, and His anointing. I mean, thank God for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that can comfort all of us, that can teach all of us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of all things. So when I'm out there and you start losing a little bit of confidence in the rodeos, and by the way, most of y'all know in Burwell, Nebraska, I had a horse go down, hit my head. They had a helicopter and an airplane ready to take me out. They just knew that I had brain swelling. They knew I was out for a long period of time. I don't remember except one thing in that arena when I got into the, I guess they pulled an ambulance into the arena. This has just been month and a half ago, if that. That horse just came down as I roped him, and he went left. The ground was deep, and he stepped on his left front foot with his back, and he pulled that shoe, but it caused him not to be able to get that front leg out there to stay on 4 feet. And so it was under him, and he just went down, and the harder it slammed me to the ground, knocked the breath out of me. Everybody thought, as y'all know, and I testified to last time I was here a month or so ago, that they were already calling my wife 20 minutes later saying that I was killed in the arena. It was brutal. It was a matter of fact, they're still calling me amazed that after they did the MRIs and all the scans and things of my head all the way down to below my waist, they couldn't find one thing wrong with me, not even a concussion, y'all. Now, the reason that I say that is because there was so many people that had laid hands on me in that arena. I mean, wives of the contestants jumped the fence and ran. And we had to take the video down because the pro rodeo people, pro rodeo, asked us to take it down because it was causing so much attention to come on, you know, that event. But if you saw it, and I'm sure a lot of you did before we took it down, it was crazy. It was wild how hard the slapping sound you could hear of me in my head. Boy, I got a hard head. Amen. But really, that wasn't the issue. The greatest thing was all the people that had laid hands on me and prayed over me. Every time I see someone, they give me of an example of, man, a guy had the same fall and he was killed. A guy had the same fall and he can't walk. He's a vegetable, or he's retarded, or it took everything away from him. And here Corey Ross stands, because I live by the seed of the Word of God, and I speak Psalms 91 that says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And I declare this out of my, because the very next verse says, I declare and I speak and I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my provider and the one that gives me provision and the one that is my protector. And the list can go on and on and on. And it's because I live by the seed of the Word of God. This is not just some plaything that I do on Sunday mornings to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and then really not know how to live out there in that world, not of it, but in it, where there is still a devil who John 10:10 says still comes to steal, kill, and destroy you and me. But thank God for Jesus. Man, man, man. Whew. Thank God for Jesus. Because then He died so that we can have life. You got to keep reading John 10:10, that you can have life and more abundant life. We prayed for you. And coming from an injury, you better serve God. I better serve God. I mean, the people that were praying for us in an accident, thank God for it. Because it was those prayers that God said, you know what? You're not going to have any lasting injury. You're the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And you're going to rise up and serve God for the rest of your life because of His graciousness. That's what they said to me anyway. Amen. Started getting excited there for a minute.
That's okay.
Now, if you don't live this way and you just have this helmet of salvation on and you don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, and you don't have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, I mean, all that stuff. If you don't have all this stuff on, then all you do have is the helmet of salvation. Thank God you'll go to heaven, but you'll die before you need to. You won't inherit. I mean, this messes a lot of people up because they have always misunderstood the Word of God of, you know, well, if you do anything wrong, you will go to hell. You won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. It does not say that. What it says, though, is that you won't inherit God's ways of doing things here on earth. You won't have the peace of God. You'll have to find it through a drug or through alcohol or through something else. You'll try to find happiness in a different way instead of just knowing that the peace of God is what passes all understanding. You'll try to find joy in all kinds of ways, but if you would just know that Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Man, it'll help you out. If you live by the world system and you only have the helmet of salvation on, you won't inherit God's ways. I'm not going to judge your salvation, though. I'm not going to say, you know, just because you don't act like a Christian, you're going to go to hell. I cannot judge your heart because no man can. The Bible says no man can steal your salvation. I can look at your fruits, though, and your fruits don't look too bueno. I'm not going to judge your salvation, though. That's between you and God. But there's got to be a changing. And the way you change is you get into church and you start coming to Bible study and you start living in this different kingdom called the kingdom of God. And it's all because of the Word of God. And then faith, when you fertilize that tree, faith, man, ooh, Jesus. You faith is just believing in things that you cannot see. Because again, we can't see the Father or Jesus. But we have to have faith that He is there and He's our Lord. Thank God 33 and a half years Jesus was was performing, you know, being raised and then performing miracles those last 3.5 years. Thank God we know that. It's recorded in history. But still, he was raised from the dead. Do you believe that? It's going to take faith to believe it. Faith, you see. That's the fertilizer of that tree, y'all. Faith, you see. Faith is just simply believing the word of God. When you turn over to Matthew chapter 17, and I'm not going to go there, but you can. Matthew chapter 17, about verse 20, it talks about a mustard seed faith. Ooh, little old bitty seed. And man, all you have to do is have the faith of a mustard seed. And then it begins to talk about, then you can speak to the mountain. You see. Just a little bit of faith or the seed, you see. What about the third part, though? What about some pruning of that tree? I lived in level land. And we started, oh gosh, it's been 23, 24 years ago, maybe 25. We started a church in Lubbock called Church at the Barn. I've told a lot of people, when we lived in Lubbock, the FBI was investigating us because so many of those wild, wild drug dealers and just, I mean, wild people were giving their hearts to Jesus, and they thought we was a cult. And they investigated us and found out that we were just preaching Jesus. We're just a church. We was doing it at a sale barn there in Lubbock on the south side. But so many people gave their lives. I think the first 2 years, 3 years, 1,700 people gave their lives to Jesus. It was amazing. And now we turn that church over to Ted and Jan Currington. It's called Church at the Barn, and it's on the north side. If you're familiar with Lubbock, there's a little place. It's a steakhouse called Kegel's. And it's a real good steakhouse. Anybody ever been there? Let me see your hand. Anybody? 1, 2, 3. You've been there? Yeah, I have. My mom been there. Ooh, it's a good, good steakhouse. Well, they're right down the street from this steakhouse now. And, I mean, 600-700 people go to this church. And it's a blessing of the church that we started. But I'll never forget when I lived in that area, there was an apple tree. That's what they told me it was. It was right outside the garage. I'd never seen an apple on it ever. Ever. So, I walked outside one day with Ted and Jan Currington's son named Chad. And I looked at that tree. And I remembered the story about Jesus speaking to the tree and cursing it. And so that's what I said. I said, tree, you're supposed to be an apple tree. Now, imagine someone just talking to a tree, okay? But I said, tree, you're supposed to be an apple tree, but you've never produced any apples. I said, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to prune you, and if you don't produce any apples, I'm going to cut you down because you're supposed to produce something. You're of no use if you're not producing after your kind, which is apples. And really, I forgot about the prayer that I prayed. I mean, I was speaking to this tree. And I don't know what Chad thought. He might have thought, this is a crazy preacher right here. So I just spoke to it. And then I pruned it. Guess what we had the next year? Full of apples. You see, there's something about pruning a tree, you see. We see it in John chapter 15. You start talking about pruning something. The Bible says that that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches and so on. And it says if you don't produce any fruit, that he'll cut off a part of you. Well, here's what it's really talking about. Because there's nothing wrong with getting rid of bad stuff. You know, things like bad thinking, I call it stinking thinking. You know, things like that we're just used to saying, I just happen to be the one that doesn't believe in luck. And you better not either. Because if you study the word luck out, you can trace it back to Satan, where they used to call him, oh, lucky. Not very many people even know. You start studying and digging into the Word of God, it's amazing what you find out. But when you think about it, the Word of God calls us blessed. Blessed and highly favored. And I can't find any bad blessings, but you can find bad luck. You can find both, good and bad. Hopefully it'll be good, and hopefully it's the day that you have the good luck. But if you just believe in the blessing of God, praise God, there's no such thing again as bad blessings. Doesn't even make sense, right? So there's something about pruning and cutting off some bad things that are in our lives. You know what that might be? How about fear? Do you realize that fear is the opposite of faith? I mean, yeah, don't bring a snake up to me. I mean, we don't pull out the snakes on this particular Sunday. We wait till next. But no, I'm serious. You bring a snake up, that son of a gun's dying. The shotgun's coming out, right? But I'm not going to be so afraid of a snake that it makes me lose everything when I see one. Or a spider or whatever. Well, see, fear really is like that because, man, when it gets on you, man, you're fearful of lots of things. Fearful of defeat. Fearful of death. Why would you be afraid of death when you're born again? Because thank God you get to go to heaven. But fear is a big, big thing that is exactly against faith. How about unbelief? I mean, I've had people that came to this church that struggled for a year, one guy, that just could not believe in this God stuff. Just unbelief, you see. Or how about believing some of it, not all of it? Y'all probably remember when I still get asked to preach all over the country. I turned down a lot of invitations, primarily because, you know, I'm the pastor of this church. My calendar still gets booked over years in advance just to speak the Word of God. I don't know, just because it's the cowboy thing. I'm one that doesn't worry about just being a pastor. God calls me out there, I'm going. And it doesn't matter how much it costs. I'm going to trust Him. Thank God, though, for His Word. Because as I'm out there, man, I see a whole lot of things. A lot. When you're talking about the pruning part of it and, you know, seeing what I see out there and the unbelief, the doubts, oh, wow, the doubting. Man, I've had people that they don't believe in anything. They call themselves, matter of fact, I was made fun of at a coffee shop, and I had to deal with then some friends of ours that got made fun of because the guy asked them what they did. We was in a minister's conference, and I was running it. They began to ask them, how can you believe in fairy tales? Things that are really not true. He was a graduate from Texas A&M. He said, Texas A&M didn't make you agnostic. What's agnostic? That don't believe in anything? Oh, come on. You believe in something, trust me. And I had to just build these young ministers up. Oh, man, who cares about that, you know? You see, there's all kinds of doubting and fears and unbeliefs that try to cause you to stay kind of defeated in some areas of your life. But see, you don't have to be defeated in any area of your life. You may be growing in some areas, but you don't have to stay defeated. How about sin, addictions? Jamie, we were talking about this just yesterday. I don't know why. Maybe to build up this service a little bit and this message. And I just have to be honest, and y'all are going to just have to believe me that it's true. But Jamie calls me perfect. She said, you don't drink? You'll be the surprised the people in Christianity that drink. I'm not saying it, if you do, it's sin. I'm not saying that. But she said, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't dip, you don't cuss. What else, Mom? She did a whole list, and she's talking to her sister. I don't overly use my temper. I don't lose it. That's true. Well, except one time when I got cut off on the road by an old man. I forgot about that one. Overly. Did y'all hear about that? I've had horses. I was just driving, minding my own business. And there was a truck that had a trailer. I thought, oh, they're cowboy people. Well, we're like-minded. So I decided to move over to pass, and he moved over there, and there was an 18-wheeler in front. And I'm like, now why would he do that? And so I scooted back over, and he moved back over. And so I thought, oh, he's trying to mess with me. So I gunned it, and I faked him out, and I moved way to the right, and I got him to looking in his right mirror, and then I got up there beside him, and I looked at him, and I'm talking about, he might have been older than any of you guys. And I looked at him, and he rolled down his window, and I'm just telling you the truth, that son of a gun can cuss. I still to this day don't know why he was cussing at me, but I'm telling you, he showed me three fingers and told me to read between the lines. And I don't know what came on me, being a preacher headed to do a wedding, but the Tabasco sauce started coming up my legs. And I said, pull over. Here's a minister of the gospel telling an old man to pull over so I can whip the guy. Oh, man, I'm talking cussing. So anyway, I lost it that one time. Is there others? Never mind, y'all be quiet. Silence in the church. Listen to me. There's something about getting rid of addictions and things that are kind of keeping us from really truly tapping into that belief that we need to tap into. Man, what's wrong with the pruning and getting rid of it? What's wrong with saying, God, I've tried to quit this stuff. I need your help, sir. Let me tell you, you know how to quit something that is an addiction in your life? You have to have more of a desire to not do it than to do it. That's when you'll quit. You just got to figure out how to get there. Well, I'm telling you how to get there, the Word of God. The Word. By the way, I'm trying to attain perfection, but there's a lot of problems that I have to deal with that no one knows about. No one. I mean, try to believe for a church. I mean, I don't know how long has it been, howdy, since we've been believing for the kids' church to be built in our offices. 10 years? 10 years. And you want to talk about getting frustrating. Saying, God, we built this thing, we did it debt-free, but our kids need to have that big, beautiful 4 rooms on each side, 2 bathrooms. I mean, man, we need that, sir. And to be believing for those things, well, every now and then it's like, I don't know when it's going to happen, sir. A little bit of doubt might creep in, then I have to get a hold of myself. No, 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 no. No, it's not in my time, and I'm just going to keep believing, and when it comes to pass, I'm going to praise God, you see. Let me give you the fourth one, then I'll close. Because after the pruning takes place on a tree, then the great thing happens. Number four, ready? Fruit. Man, we need fruit today more than any other time, y'all. I mean, I want to see the fruit of what I'm believing God for. I want to see the harvest come in my life. I don't want to just barely get by and again have to, well, settle for something that I didn't believe for in the first place. No, I'm going to just keep believing, because when you do this, then that's when the fruit comes. You see, yeah, I could be all messed up in my mind because I hit the ground so hard with my head. But you know what? I'm not. I'm going to go on and carry on. I could have lived in fear. Jamie didn't want me to watch that video. I wasn't about to allow fear to control my life. So I watched it. I saw the impact. I saw the people running to me. But I could have lived in fear. I could have thought, well, oh, you know, I'm trying to live a good godly life, and why would this happen, Lord? Why would you allow me to go through this trial and tribulation that everybody does in their lives at one time or another? When in all reality, it was not God that caused that to happen. It wasn't God's fault. He was the protector, though, thank God. He's the one that I called on. He's the one that gave me the courage to get back on that horse about a week and a half later. You know, yeah, it did put me behind in the world standings of Steer Open. I was about 13th in the world. They take the top 15 to the finals in Mulvane, Kansas. I've dropped to about 18th now, but I'm telling you, I started winning. I won $12,000 from the time that it happened to maybe $13,000 to right now. Everybody thought, well, he's done. It's over with. But I kept pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I wasn't going to live in the past, and I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not worried about anything. Even though I'm $4,000 from making the national finals right now, I'm just going to carry on. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep doing what I set out to do. I'm out there to minister first. But then God allows me to rope so that I can be one of them. I understand what they, as professional cowboys, go through. And I'm just going to keep going. If I don't make the finals, that's fine with me. I'll try again next year. But I'm not going to allow what happened in my life to be the factor of me staying stagnant in my life. No, I'm going to keep pressing forward to the mark of the high calling, and I'm going to keep moving forward, and not out of regret, not out of fear, not out of unbelief, because if I do, the fruit comes. That's when you get the fruit, brother. Sister, you get the fruit, and you need the fruit. The fruit is where the health comes from. I mean, anytime you eat some good fruit, it causes health to come to your body. Prosperity. God loves the prosperity of his servants. That's fruit, man. When that harvest comes in your life, praise God. That's what we're desiring, man. So the question is this morning, are you tapped in like this tree? Are you having longevity in what you're living for as a Christian and serving Christ Jesus? Or have you given up on some areas of your life? Are you just trying to maintain until you get on out of this place? I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to wait to heaven to get peace. You don't have to wait till heaven to get joy. Because, my friends, it's here. The Prince of Peace is here, and you've got the authority to use his name. When you live that way, you'll have longevity in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, that fruit is peace. Fruit is joy. And fruit is love. The fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering, patience, and things like that. That's what we desire. So, Father, we're going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. But the first seed is salvation. So, sir, if there's one person that is in the sound of my voice, maybe they're watching live on the internet, maybe they're here live in this audience. The question is, sir, is if they're not saved and born again, Jesus is not their Lord. They've never made him their Lord. I ask you, sir, to draw their heart to you right now. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given Jesus the lordship of your life, I'm going to ask you to do it right now. In other words, if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I'm going to ask you to choose heaven. The only way you can do that is by choosing the Son of God named Jesus. The Bible again says that we confess Him as Lord. Believe that God raised Him from the dead and we'll be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Well, I always say saved from hell. You don't have to go to hell. Matter of fact, hell was not made for you and I. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven because they tried to be God. But, as y'all know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And now we have to choose life or death. When you choose Jesus and make Him the Lord of your life, that's what you're doing. You're choosing life. You're making Him the Lord of your life. That's why John chapter 14 says He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by Him, Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, to do it right now by praying a prayer with me. And I'm going to lead you in the prayer. All I ask you to do is pray it after me. Just mean what you pray. We're going to pray Romans 10. We're going to invite Jesus Christ into our heart to be the Lord of our life. Would you do that this morning if you've never done it? But also, all you Christians, all you people that have, pray this prayer with us as well. You're going to be able to pray with someone beside you, behind you, in front of you, that may be giving their lives to Jesus for the first time. We'll just pray it with them. But more than that, you're going to learn the spirit of this prayer so that you can lead your friends or your family to Jesus that maybe would not even set foot in this comfortable church. So I want you to pray this prayer with us, but I'm really talking to people that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. And I'm telling you, when you die, you'll bust heaven wide open. It'll be a wonderful place. But listen, you'll actually have heaven here on earth before you get to the place called heaven. And that's just living for God and coming to church and going to Bible study and living for Him. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you have, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. You ready? At the top of your voice, let's pray it this way. You ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is now my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for being my friend. And I pray it to the Father in Jesus' name now. Now, no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I just want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up, say, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my life to Jesus this morning for the first time. And then just put your hand right back down. I want you to do it with boldness because we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of giving our lives to Jesus. If you just gave your life to Jesus, by the way, He's not ashamed of you. He gave His life for you. If you're not ashamed and you just gave your life to Jesus this morning, again, when I say three, stick your hand up and put it right back down with boldness. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate all of you. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Glory be to God. Just take that Bible. We're going to hand you a Bible. No one looking around. No one looking around. There's a lot of them. My Lord, I bet 10. Glory be to God. Just take that Bible. Now listen, before you raise your heads up and open your eyes, we gave everybody a Bible. Inside that Bible, if you have it in your hand, I want you to open it up and there's a card in it. To us, it's very important that you spend just a second. We'll help you fill it out if we need to. But I want you to fill it out because, listen, I don't want you to ever accuse us of not helping you know what to do when you give your life to Jesus. We will never harass you. We don't believe in that, but we want to help you start living for Christ. We want to encourage you to, man, there may be some things going on in your life, but now you gave your life to Jesus, and we'll help you know what to do. So inside that Bible is a card, and I want you to fill it out. If you need a pen, just let us know, and we'll give you a pen. It's an honor to call you a brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Amen. Y'all look at me. Why don't you clap for about 10 people? Amen. It's amazing. Real fast, before we have our special guest, real fast, and we won't take long, but listen. I had a leadership meeting on Thursday night, and I flew in Wednesday. And in this leadership meeting, I told all our leaders, and they know it, how incredible this church is. Because I've never seen one in all the years that I've pastored and ministered in, hundreds of them. I've never seen the amount of people that get saved at this church. It's amazing, y'all. And don't take that for granted, because growing up, if we had five in a year, it was a huge deal. Five. And we might have 5 to 10 every Sunday. On occasions, no one, but not very often. It's a testimony of what God's doing here. And if you're a part of this, count it for joy, because you know, I know people come from Austin that's visited 20 churches that does not give a salvation plan, which means they're only interested in mentorship and discipleship. And those things we do here, they're very important. But you got to get saved before you can get discipled and mentored. Amen? It's an honor that all you people gave your lives to the Lord, and I mean it. Now let's grow together. And the way you do that is you keep coming to church. And you come to Bible study on Tuesday. And the Bible studies are very important, because that's where, unlike this service, that's where you can raise your hand and say, what does that mean? What does it mean when you start talking about the gifts of the Spirit? What is all that? What does healing mean? Does God heal everyone? Well, you can ask all those questions in Bible study, and we do it on Tuesday night. And we need to start seeing more people. We have a lot of people already that come to Bible study, over 50 plus. But I think it's a time that we all get together. We rotate ministers, and men and women. And it is a wonderful time that you need to get plugged into. Amen. Before we get...